And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I argue that would be Alabama. I'm talking about the show is broadcast way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back on over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I got to tell you, we have a new advertiser. You probably heard their ads, especially if you're in the Huntsville market, the Elm Foundation. That's E-L-M, Elm Foundation. It stands for Expect Little Miracles. Elm Foundation is a 501c3, making a difference in people's lives left and right. Unlike the government, which will just sling money at a problem and pretend they did something. Now, the Elm Foundation, they literally get out there with direct service grants and multiple other participants alongside them, making a difference in people's lives, helping them to become, you know, educated, highly employable, getting them off the streets, if you will, and back into the workforce, becoming productive. And here's one of the cool things about it. They're a 501c3, but they have a benefactor that made sure they have all their operating costs covered separately. And so any dollar they raise to do the work they do for the good people of the area is going straight into programs. And that's just awesome. Listen, Elm Foundation, you can find out more about what they do, and I encourage you to do so at their website, ElmHSV, that's E-L-M-H-S-V, as in Elm Huntsville, ElmHSV.org. And if you wind up talking to them or going to one of their meetings or whatever, just tell them you heard about it here on Right Side. I would certainly appreciate it. We talked about ESG. A lot. We talked about woke virtue failing a lot today. Let me put a pin in this one for the day. Third part of the Triple Dipper, I'm calling it ESG-OMG. I'm just, you know, I'm hip like that. I can use those acronyms like those kids do on that texting thing. I know Charlene's in total cringe mode right now. She probably heard me. She goes, oh, stop talking like that. Anyway, here's the deal. If you weren't familiar, ESG, which I had my opening monologue was on this issue, environmental, social, and governance. It's basically when it's more often found in investment management, insurance, and banking, and truthfully in corporate America as well. It's when those major entities decide that their mission in life is not about shareholders and a return on profits or a return on an investment, basically profit making. It's when their mission in life is less about that and more what ESG proponents call stakeholder, not shareholder, stakeholder issues. Stakeholders mean we're all in this together. We need to build a better world. Okay, I'm for that, except that your version of a better world might not be mine. And maybe I just want you to take the dollars I invested in your company and make that widget the way you said you would and maximize my return. And if you want to give some of your hard-earned dollars to a 501 that does things you believe in, then go for it. But what we're looking at right now is not that. ESG is when a company sets aside its original mission or at the very least reduces its impact on the original mission of returning shareholders their profits and pursues an agenda, ESG standing for environmental, social, and governance, meaning environmental. How much do you do to help green energy? How much do you do to support the Green New Deal? How much do you do to buy carbon offsets? Green. All right, so environmental. Social justice issues. Did you put up a rainbow flag on the last Pride Month? Did you put money into Black Lives Matter? Did you make sure that your corporate agendas included everybody's use of their pronouns at all corporate meetings, whatever. So, yeah, social. And then governance. Did you take a stand when Georgia passed its photo ID law? Never mind the fact that Alabama had one in place for 5 or 6 years prior to that. Did you do what is necessary to tell Ron DeSantis you're not going to stand by for his Don't Say Gay bill, which had nothing to do with Don't Say Gay? Did you, as a corporation, fight back against conservatives who tried to take a stand on fiscal conservative policy, whatever, ESG. So here's the thing. In the last go-round regulatory overreach in late, I think it was November of this past year, the U.S. Department of Labor issued a regulation that actually permits ESG. Because you see, the management of retirement accounts is covered under federal law. It's called ERISA. And in, within ERISA, you have certain definitions that become legal standards. When you have ERISA at play, like on investment portfolios, when you have ERISA at play, you're looking at what it takes to make sure that shareholders, people whose investment portfolios you're managing or whatever, are managed well. And you have to maximize that return. It's important. It's required. It's a fiduciary obligation. Well, the Department of Labor decided to issue a rule that broadened the construct of what is considered to be an investment and what is considered to be lawful under ERISA. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, wait a minute. It's one thing for these companies to go rogue. It's quite another for the government to change the law or the regulatory understanding of what is happening and basically invoke ESG by regulatory fiat through the government action. So anyway, Congress said, ain't going to have it. In a rare effort at bipartisanship, it passed the House and the Senate. Narrow margin in the House because we have a narrow majority. But then it passed with two Democrats joining Republicans in the Senate. And it went to the president's desk. And for the very first veto of his entire presidential career, which hopefully is going to end in about a year and a half, the president of the United States vetoed it. So right now, we're sitting here, and by the way, so Joe Manchin, centrist Democrat, Joe Manchin is livid. Joe Manchin issued a scathing rebuke. Now, Joe Manchin's career is on the line. He knows he's going to wind up having competition. He may not get reelected after all these years. So maybe he's calling it out because that's the way he feels, or maybe he's calling it out because it's politically expedient. But the reality is this. His quote says, West Virginians are under increasing stress as we continue to recover from a once-in-a-generation pandemic, pay the bills amid record inflation, and face the largest land war in Europe since World War II. And this administration's unrelenting campaign to advance a radical social and environmental agenda is only exacerbating these challenges. And he's right. He's absolutely right. So just so you guys know, the House is going to go ahead and call it up for a vote because you are allowed to override a veto. We did it once in Montgomery when I was down there with Governor Bentley. I forget what this topic was now. But we overrode the governor's veto. You have the opportunity in Congress to override a presidential veto. But it still takes a two-thirds majority. Not just a simple majority, a two-thirds majority. So the same numbers they use to pass the bill ain't going to be enough to override the veto, so it's highly unlikely it's going to happen. But then again, stranger things have happened. And I will say this. It also does exactly what one member of the former George W. Bush administration points out. It puts people on the record again. In fact, I found myself taking my notes here on my articles, holding it up to the camera. This guy, Brad Campbell, a former George W. Bush administration appointee, said, it seems to me the case for pursuing a veto override is political in terms of highlighting the issue and making members take votes on the record again. I wrote to myself, what's your point? Because, yeah, it's exactly what's going to happen. It's always two-pronged. You put people on the record with a true roll call vote, and secondly, you hope for the best on the outcome of the vote. But if you don't get it, you use the vote against them. That's just the way it works. So some are saying, don't even bother, man. It's not going to happen. You know what? We're going to put people on the record. Not only did they vote against it the first time, they voted against the opportunity for an override. This is the will of the people, and they thwarted it. That's what's going to be the story. Now, right here in Alabama, our own attorney general is taking action on ESG, just so you know, and I'm glad of it. And he points out something that I'd forgotten about that happened just last year, is that Alabama has already been harmed, if you will, by ESG efforts. So, story on 1819 News that came out 2 days ago, Attorney General Marshall speaking about fighting ESG, ESG trying to inject issues that create change that they can't get at the ballot box, so they try to do it in your finances. He points out Alabama has been tangibly harmed. Right here in Alabama, we were harmed as a state when we were going for a bond issue last year. Actually, it may have been the year before. A bond issue with a good rating. I mean, we have a solid rating for bonding here in Alabama. And we went out in the bond market, and leftist ESG, you know, woke critics came out there and just began hammering the bond companies, claiming that this is all about funding incarceration and that harms minorities and whatever. We wound up not getting the bonds that we were hoping for and wound up having to go with a tougher rate to somebody else. And that's just not the way it's supposed to work. But that kind of environmental, social, and governance being mixed in with the finance sector is not the way it's supposed to work at all. And so I'm glad to hear that Attorney General, is that a Freudian slip? There are some who believe, by the way, that Steve Marshall will run for governor. But nonetheless, Steve Marshall says that he is helping lead the charge as a part of the Republican Attorney General Association with a bunch of other states filing suit against ESG, especially in the wake of the fact that the president had an opportunity to put an end to it. No, he wants it. He wants it bad. He's been told, you got to have this. So yes, pull my puppet strings. He signed a veto for the first time. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back and put a lid on a day, a full day. What a great day. All right, you guys, y'all stay tuned. Right Side Radio, we will be right back.